AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1 945 on your Tuesday morning. I got the opportunity to send a second community connection this morning with candidate for the 1st District Congressional seat, Kevin Hearn. And Kevin, you were busy talking to people and shaking hands when I saw you Saturday night during the Bartlesville Christmas Parade. I understand it was even your wife's birthday and you were out talking with people. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Oh, you bet, Charlie. Yes, that was my wife's birthday on Saturday, and we had 4 parades. I think three different breakfast meetings, and I think we knocked on about 300 doors in between all of that. So it was a busy, busy Saturday. Beautiful weather, great time to be out meeting the people of the 1st District.
I think if we take the next 10 first Saturdays of the month of December, we probably are not going to have a better one than we had this past year. So thanks a lot for coming up. And Kevin, the Congress now is getting ready to work on a joint bill on tax reform. I hope they can be successful, but tax reform, I think, on either of the two measures that passed a chamber are better than what we have now. Is that your opinion?
It is, Charlie. Obviously in conference, as the House has voted to move into conference now, I believe that we're going to see sort of the best of both bills come forward to get to the President's desk before the end of the year. You know, there's some great things in both bills. I think one of the highlights of this, and even though it doesn't affect me directly, and getting our large corporations to be now at parity with the rest of the world on the tax policy that makes us more competitive. We'll have less of our big corporations moving overseas and doing the so-called inversions where we lose our headquarters and things like that to foreign nations is huge. And, you know, the small businessmen and women out there that create many of the jobs, almost 70% of the jobs in the 1st District and around our state and actually around our country, will benefit greatly from that, because as our big businesses grow, they bring in a lot of people around to work there with higher wages, and they need people to, you know, get their hair done and their cars washed and worked on and, you know, buy food and buy hamburgers at McDonald's.
Exactly, yeah.
That's important.
It is important.
We'll all benefit from that.
And I think when we talk about the number of people nationwide that are employed by businesses with, 25 employees, 35 employees, 55, 75 employees, it is a surprising number. I don't think people always realize that just what small business America does. And we can define small business in many different ways. But probably if you're filing the business tax return as part of your own tax return, you're a small business.
That's correct. You know, this past two conversations being had today, it was really a result of what happened back in 1986, the last time there was a major tax code change in the Reagan administration. And the past due idea was created. Actually, it wasn't created, but it came to real prominence then because of so much damage that was done to the larger corporations and the tax code, and a lot of the recapturing of certain tax issues. And so that's sort of been resurrected, made us more competitive on a global basis, which I think we all recognize we have a global economy. We need to be acting like that in our country, and things be great for job creation, which will help in certainly improving the wages that are out there where the larger corporations that, for so many years now we've been losing. So that, I think that's a big one. The other big one is what's going on in the Senate version, which is to remove the employee mandates and the business mandates on Obamacare. That will be huge for those that are out there that have been just straddled with this idea of having and being forced to buy health insurance when they don't need it. That will be huge. Also, I think there's something in there for those that have been struggling at the lower end of the income scale, going from basically doubling of the standard deduction, making it easier to file taxes. That will be huge. All of this is about getting more money back into the pockets of the everyday Americans, those who have jobs and those who create jobs, so that we can help our continue to grow.
And I think the idea of simplifying the tax code, and I know the two versions, keeps the basic number of tax brackets that we have now, the other streamlines it a little bit, but being able to do it more on one sheet of paper, I know they use the term postcard, but we're not there yet on either version, but the idea of being able to, where you don't have to buy TurboTax or you don't have to go to a tax preparer for the majority of people's personal tax returns, I think just that move in itself is huge.
It is. Any time that you can just basically put in what you earned and here's the tax, and then here's what you either pay in that you haven't paid in already, or you get back, you overpaid and get it back. And know that just, on a 4x6 postcard would be absolutely fantastic for many, many millions of Americans. And that's awesome. And it's, here's what we know. And Ronald Reagan said this so succinctly back in the 80s that, millions of Americans will spend their money more efficiently than a single focused U.S. government. And I think the whole premise of all of this is to get money back into the individual taxpayers' hands so that they can do what they think is right with their own money. And if this is followed up, succinctly with a spending cut on many different programs out there, like just completely eliminating the CFPB, that would be unbelievable success in this 115th Congress if they can get that done. And, what's being shown about many of the tax foundations, the Council of Economic Advisors, that this tax cut is going to millions of Americans will generate an economy that will more than pay for the projected deficit on a static scoring. So, great things to come. I think they're going to have this done, next 5 to 10 days, and the president will be signed, and we'll have this ready to go for 2018.
That sounds like a good deal. I hope you are correct. And I know that the other side is talking about, that it's not a quote paid for tax cut. But I've always understood that debt is a matter of spending. I don't have the exact Ronald Reagan quote in front of me, but something about we don't have a taxation problem, we have a spending problem.
Well, it's sort of interesting when you talk about the Democrats. They're out there actually trying to use the Republican line of putting more money in the pockets of job creators so the job creators can get more jobs. Yet they haven't really said how they're going to do that. They tried the stimulus package, which did absolutely nothing for us for the last 8 years. We had less than half of what our traditional growth rates were in our economy, which has gotten us so far in the hole, to the tune of $10 trillion in additional debt in the last 8 years. A place where we've gone from basically in 08, $17 billion given out annually in welfare to now 71 billion, 44 million people on welfare in America. More than half the Americans today are getting some form of a check from the U.S. government. Down around 62% of Americans are working. All of these are just the policy of collecting all of our money, sending it to the federal government, and let the federal government tell us where they're going to invest with us has been a failure. And we don't have to go anywhere but just look at the last administration to see that. So let's go back to what Ronald Reagan did when we had 20 years of economic growth. Let's put the money back into people's hands. Let the job creators create jobs. And let's do what President Trump says he wants to do next, which is reform the welfare programs, put people back into jobs, and get them off the dependency of the U.S. government.
Well, and he, I think, going along with what you were just talking about, though, is repatriating at least a good percentage of these corporations that were U.S. corporations. And I actually was shopping at local Walmart and saw a label I hadn't seen for a while. It said Made in the USA.
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of excitement in that area. We're seeing it this year, and really, if you think about it, There hasn't been any laws that help job creators be passed this year that have had any kind of impact on what we're seeing in the marketplace. It's really been the deregulation that's been going on with the EPA, with what President Trump is doing. His original goal was to undo two regulations for every one that was proposed. It's actually about 16-1. It's created a tremendous amount of excitement in economies across the country. But, we have got to, it's been so long since we've seen real job creation. I think we've forgotten what job creation really does. I mean, if you think about it for just a minute, putting more people back to work will lower our crime rates because people will be tired at night and they're not going to be out at 3 o'clock in the morning doing bad things. So I'm all for making more people tired in America than what they've been the last 8 years. And one of the biggest issues for divorce rates is, we need to get more people working so that they can have, healthier families financially. And like I said, we've got more than half Americans getting checks from the government. And then even going back to our national sovereignty, from our military, And Darrell Mattis has testified multiple times in the Senate this year, stating that we need to be careful if we don't get this budget passed and the tax codes where they need to be, because very quickly the issue of our debt and deficits is going to be our biggest national security threat that we've ever seen, and that no nation has ever maintained its military without first having its fiscal house in order. So these are words that have been resurrected actually all the way back to Eisenhower. And you know, we see today that only half of our naval fleet is able to, our airplanes are being able to fly because the other half's used for parts. And, you know, our pilots are getting less time than they need to fly, so we're having more accidents occur because of the lack of training. So we need to get the funding back out on the tip of the spear that's being projected around the world and prevent these folks that are wanting to hurt us from doing bad things, including the southern border wall.
No nation was ever attacked because it was too strong.
And never was. And, you know, it takes it's a bigger, badder place out there, if you will, around the world. And we have to project our power around the globe. And I think we're doing as good a job as possible with what we have right now. We just need to give our men and women that are wearing the uniform more financial resources to do the job that needs to be done.
Well, and if you look at history, and I know you and I have talked about this before, over the last 8 years or so, the military has been forced due to realignments, budget cuts, manning level adjustments by the executive branch. They have, I want to use the word encouraged, but it could be used force, the middle management, the middle NCOs, the middle officer ranks out early just to decrease manning levels. And now we find ourselves with, not enough pilots to fly the planes, not enough officers to drive the ships, and the parts problem that you already talked about as far as cannibalizing this aircraft to make that one work.
Well, you know, Charlie, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's even more so than that. I've got several friends around the area, you know, young people, and there's sometimes young people in America get a bad rap, but there are many, many young people in America that love this country, want to serve the country. And I have a particular friend that his daughter's in one of the branches. I'll leave nameless right now, but you know, she hasn't had leave in 22 months just because she's on a recurring tour and in the Pacific area with all the hostilities going on over there. And they're having to go see her. She can't even get away long enough to come back stateside. And, you know, that is one of those situations where, you know, she's already stated that, you know, my time is up, I'm out.
Yeah.
And this was somebody who got in with a thought of having a career in the military. So we need to remember sometimes out of sight, out of mind, and Americans need to remember our men and women that are in uniform, and let's do everything we can to give them what they need.
Well, speaking of getting what you need, Kevin, there are fundraising cycles for people running for office, and those reports have to be filed on a timely basis. I haven't looked at the dates, but I think we're coming up on another filing deadline fairly soon, and that means you and other candidates running for office require support from the general public.
That's true. Unfortunately, it takes funding to run these races, and I wish everybody would do it for free, but unfortunately they don't. And so it's America, and everybody is out there looking for their piece of the action. So we have obviously the fourth quarter ending here on December 31st, and we'll be reporting by mid-January. We have to get our message out. We have to pay the people that are working on our staffs, and that's part of the nuance. Doing all three of these and doing them well, having a great message, a great staff, and being able to raise money. So we encourage, and hopefully I make many, many phone calls today, as I'm sure the other candidates do as well, to try to find supporters of ours. We had great supporters, great endorsers. Congressman Steve Russell's endorsed me. State Insurance, Don Doak has. Earl Sears up in Washington County has been a great help for me personally. We've had many, many, many people that have helped us around the district and around the state, and we understand the importance of getting this economy resurrected. As you and I have talked about many times, I've created literally thousands of jobs over my career as being a small business owner. I understand what it's like to be paid last, and so I respect everybody's contributions that they give to me as of being an investment in me doing what it takes to help job creators put people back to work. And I really appreciate all the people across this great district and the state that have helped us fund our campaign to get our message out.
And there's information on how people can do that on your website.
Yes, sir. HernForCongress.com, HernForCongress.com. And you can check us out on Facebook as well as Kevin R. Hern. There's a link both ways. You can go through the website. It's been great to see the tremendous support we have, tremendous support for President Trump in this district. It's truly unbelievable. You wouldn't guess it based on all the news reports coming out, the people trying to tear him down. But everywhere I go, I talk to the people about me being a job creator, a businessman running for the first time for federal office, and literally one of the first questions that's asked of me is, do I support Donald Trump? They don't ask about any other presidential candidate. They don't ask about, you know, I can't stand the guy. They want to support this president, which is, it's sort of an emotional issue as well, because it's so refreshing to see somebody be so well respected by members of the people in the first district. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Again, we expect at some point in time that there will be an election called after Mr. Bridenstine leaves office, whether that is for a November or general election or for NASA, and hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you so much for all your help.
Thank you very much. Kevin Hern this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage.